And welcome to another book interview series. I am Sal the Observer Monaco, along with Lisa Rose.
Lisa Rose. Hey.
Yes. And we're here to interview my co-producer of the book interviews, Mr. Jim Prey. Jim, how are you today?
Okay. Yeah.
Jim, how did you become involved with the five-minute series?
Well, it all started when the person that's supposed to write the book, a producer from Toronto, came up with this silly idea of just having this crack team and picking 15 people that are just going to be part of the book. And I was one of the 15 people, and I said, boy, this is a stupid idea. Is this guy on crack?
Yeah. Crack team, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that was just the first 15 he was going to pick. He was going to use other people after that, at least
to my
understanding.
Really? Because all those nasty emails I sent him, he didn't say I didn't adding anybody else.
What is the focus of the segments that you've created?
Well, I just decided, after talking to Richard Wicca, that this guy that's writing this book, this producer from Toronto, he needs a lot of help. So I decided to help him with the interviews. So basically with these interviews, I decided that I'll structure them. Whatever the people want to talk about, we'll talk about it. If it's a singer-songwriter, if they want to sing three songs and just ask me question, have me ask them questions about the three songs, we'll do it. If somebody wants like a standard interview question and answer, we'll do that. If somebody like Sal's friend Dave just wants to talk about NASCAR, we'll do that. It's just basically, I just want a wide variety of interviews, and I just want to talk about what people want to talk about.
Interviewing seems to come natural for you.
I see. We've talked about the book interview series that's here on the internet. Now, what about your involvement with the 5-minute TV series? How did you get involved with that?
Well, Richard came up with this from my friend Vince Nepsu, and I thought it would be a good way of just reading some of my poems and just saying some of the things I wanted to say about. And so I asked the wide variety of people that I thought I could do good shows with, like Lisa Rose, MC Vendetta, et cetera, et cetera. And I just thought it would be fun.
I see.
Can you read one of your poems for us?
Sure. Well, this poem was inspired. I was driving in Buffalo with my car, and I hit a deer and I killed it.
Ouch.
And it made me feel bad, so it inspired me to write this poem. Why do animals suffer so much? There are a lot of dead deer. What the hell is going on here? Why does God let animals suffer so much? I know not why on Wednesday, and it is still very unclear. My soul was broken, torn apart. I hit a magnificent deer. A cop who saw it told me this. It bolted like a bullet from behind that tree. It wasn't your fault. You did your best. But oh my God, why me? I value life, yes, life of every kind. The pain and suffering I did cause, it races through my mind. This wonderful deer makes me weep, and still today this tragic scene haunts me in my sleep. Its bloody back that makes me cry, this precious deer dragged itself under a tree. Suddenly, this marvelous deer raised its head and looked at me as if to say, why me?
You put a lot of emotion into that poem, Jim.
Well, are you an animal rights activist?
I'm not a member of any formal group, but I do what I can for animals. If I see a stray animal, I'll feed it. I'll try to find an owner for it. And I guess I put so much emotion in this because it was a true story, and it was like a very tragic story, seeing a deer die and seeing blood, all this blood on his back. And I just think animals get a raw deal in life. I mean, I've heard stories about people grabbing cats up by their tail and swinging them like a lasso and throwing them, or people that don't like animals, they just drive to some far, far remote area and just dump them out of the car and leave him.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah. Well, what got you started to writing poetry?
I think it was about when I was 4 years old. My grandmother, parents used to visit my grandmother. She used to live in, she lived in a suburb of Buffalo, but I forget what it is. Anyways, she used to collect quotes and write quotes, and I started doing that. And then I had fun playing with the English language, and writing the quotes led to writing poems, and then writing short skits, and then short stories.
Mm. And you've been doing a lot of poetry out too, right? Like at different events. I know you've done it at the Kaz Cafe and at the New Phoenix Theater.
Yeah, and there's another one, but I forget the name. And if somebody just has like an informal poetry reading, and like to my friends, like Lisa Rose, I'll email some of my poems and other friends just to get their feedback. And I'm just sort of like a perfectionist. I'm not 100% satisfied with any of my poems. Like Lisa Rose told me, why don't you put it on a disc? And I said, that's a good idea. But if I gave you the disc, I'll probably a week later, I'll say, give me that disc back. I need to update about 5 poems.
You know, who do I know like that?
Besides your love for animals, Jim, what other subject matter do you enjoy writing about when you write your poetry?
Well, this another subject matter is to spread the message about drugs, because I had a good friend who was a good friend of mine for 20 years. He got hooked on cocaine, and the friendship fell apart. So I like to, in my poems, try to attack drugs and drug dealers, and to speak out against drugs. And positive poems, I try to inspire people.
That's a great thing. Have you been on the Greg Sturley show with your poems?
I was just about to ask the same question. Yeah, you beat me to it.
I've read a few of my
poems. That whole telepathic thing, you know? Go ahead.
I read a few of my poems on this show, and he stated to me, Jim, why don't you give me all your poems so I can burn them? So I hope he was kidding about that, but I'm not sure.
I'm sure he was kidding.
With Greg, you never know, but anyway. You're going to also be appearing in Greg's latest movie, Sweet Jesus, as the crazed fan.
Oh, the crazed religious sports fan.
Yeah. How was that for you, doing that?
Well, really, when he gave me the script, I said, Greg, I can't read this. This sucks. He said, let me rewrite this. He says, okay, Jim, but I don't think you're going to come up with anything better. Mm. So I rewrote it, and I said, okay, how about this, Greg? He says, okay, we'll try it. So then we tried it, and he said, okay, it's good. Let's keep it.
Mm. So you're playing the crazed religious sports fan. She's playing the devil's disciple, and I'm the executive producer. Does that mean we're all crazy?
Well, you're playing a bum.
That too, yeah.
But I'm saying, I mean, what's going on, Sal? You're executive producer, and you don't even give it that one speaking line.
That's okay. I get to talk enough as it is on my radio show. Anyway.
A little birdie told me that you're a hockey fan.
Yeah, I'm a big hockey fan, especially the Buffalo Sabres, and I like to talk hockey with that famous local singer, Matt Surwick. He's a big Buffalo Sabres fan, too.
He's a great guy, that Matt Surwick. So, where do you see yourself going now? You think you'll be putting your poems on cassette and CD, or do you think you'll be doing more public appearances with it? More TV segments, too?
Well, the thing I like to do now is... Lisa asked me to help her book gigs, so I find the challenge of trying to book gigs fun. So what Lisa and I are doing now, she wants to do solo gigs, and I plan, if she lets me in the future, to read some of my poems when she needs a break.
I see.
But I don't know if she's going to let me.
Of course I will.
Well, as the co-manager of the great singer Lisa Rose, I have to say that I think that's a great idea.
Okay, this is supposed to be about Jim. Let's get back on track here.
At which track, though? So what's it like being a manager? I mean, you know, calling and talking to these people, trying to get these gigs, you know, trying to sell Lisa's great music.
Well, it seems like when I first did this, it's like a learning experience. Like, the other singers really don't want to trade info about who's a booking agent, so you gotta be persistent and find out who books for these different places, and then you gotta be very persistent, and you gotta visit them and just do what you can to convince them, and just be very, very persistent.
Well, have you had a lot of trouble with that? Have you had any real problems?
No, I mean, I booked her two gigs at the Clarence. I got her the Songwriter Showcase, but she's so busy working and raising her 10-year-old son. Right now, it's just a matter of she's got to tell me what cafe she wants, and we got to do an open mic. And then once she does the open mic, then I got to do the negotiating and saying what a bar she wants to do solo. Do the open mic, then I got to do the negotiating, and like say another Songwriter Showcase. Do the open mic, then I got to do the negotiating, and I got to be persistent and not take no for an answer.
Jim, you're a very busy man. You work a few jobs, and what I'd like to know is how do you manage your time? How do you find the time to create poetry and provide feedback for Greg's film and interview people for the 5-minute series? How do you do it all?
I guess it's just good genes, like from my parents, just a high energy person. And it just seems like working the job, I get pissed off and it leads to the poems. In the same way, go on Greg's show, I get pissed off and it leads to poems.
Growing up, were you involved in sports?
Oh, yeah, a lot of sports. I mean, father was a big baseball fan, and he coached baseball and basketball, and I helped him coach baseball and basketball. And I really love the game of baseball, basketball, football, and I like to play as much as I can, but it seems like as you get older, it's harder to do because you got to work. And parents, both diabetics, I got to do a lot of stuff for them, so it's a lot harder. I mean, I wish I could go back in time to my grammar school years where it was just a little homework and just play baseball, basketball, all these sports, and you didn't have any worries. I don't know if you agree with that.
No comment. How about you?
I wouldn't mind going back.
So would you like to read another one of your poems for us?
Okay, here's... I had a best friend for about 20 years, and the friendship fell apart. Why did my best friend get hooked on cocaine? Sometimes things change for no rhyme or reason. I had a best friend. We went to the same grammar school and high school, and we both enjoyed playing tennis, basketball, and football. My friend and I spent a lot of time with each other. Then cocaine entered my friend's life, and things changed for the worse. I don't know what to say. We used to be together each and every day, but now it is so different. And now it is very unclear. I guess things have changed. I guess they aren't the same. But still, I think of those days when we were best friends. Did I do something wrong? Did I say something that was not right, which caused my friend to lose a drug fight? Did I forget to call him back when he called me one night? Sometimes I think it is just him, and sometimes I think it is just me. We aren't the same people that we used to be. So I guess our friendship is over and we are no more. I hope my lost friend found what he needed and his drug problems are no more.
Jim, that was very endearing. If you were to see your friend today on the street, what would you say to him?
Well, I would extend my hand in friendship and I would say hi. I can't say his name because I want to protect his privacy. And
right.
And I'd just say, hi, how's it going? And I would try to start the friendship again. And I would hope he's off cocaine and hope he's turning his life around.
I see. Well, we have a little less than a minute. Any parting words?
Any parting words?
Yes, for your fans out there.
Well, I was going to read another poem, but there's not enough time, right?
Yeah, well, 40 seconds.
Parting words. How about the last part of this poem?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is a passage from my poem, Don't Ever Give Up on Life. Maybe you were severely wounded in a war. Maybe you were mauled by a bear. These things don't last forever. Time eventually heals all wounds. Look ahead, not behind, because some windows of opportunities are very small. There is always hope for better things to come. Look above at the birds flying high on a sunny day. Look at a beautiful sunset and watch the water glistening from the sun's reflection. Know your past is behind you. Live your life one day at a time. You can't have a high without a low. Knock down the brick wall one brick at a time. Let the anguish and tears make you stronger. God gave you one life, and today may be the last day of your life, so make the best of it.
Thank you very much, Jim, for the interview.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
And thank you for all the great work you've done here on the book series.
Okay. Thanks, Jim, a lot. Thanks a lot, Sal and Lisa, for taking time out of their busy lives.